Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Erevin Daf Chav Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission discusses the laws of our Karpov, an area enclosed for non-residential purposes. Even though on a Daraisa level it's a Rishus Yachid, since it's a large area that can be confused with the Rishus Rabim, the Rabban prohibited using it in certain circumstances. Rav Yehuda ben Vava said that one may carry in a garden or a Karpov that is not more than 70 amos and a fraction by 70 amos and a fraction that's surrounded by a fence, Ten Tfachim Chai, and provided that has a Shamer, a watchman's booth, or a Beis Dira, a dwelling, or that's near a city. Rashi explains that when the Karpa is close to the city, the owner comes out regularly to use it, and it's as if it's designated for residential use. Rav Yehuda says that it's permissible to carry in the Karpa even if it only contains a water hole, a ditch, or a cave. It has a weaker residential use. And Rekiva permits carrying it even if it has none of these, provided that its size does not exceed 70 amas in a fraction by 70 amas in a fraction. Point number two, according to Rabbi Akiva, a Karpov cannot exceed 70 amos in a fraction by 70 amos in a fraction and must be a perfect square. The Gemara seeks a Daraisa allusion to this. Rabbi Yehuda answers with the pasuk regarding the Mishkan, Orecha chatzar meva amma v'rochav chamishim v'chamishim. The length of the courtyard is 100 amos and its width is 50 by 50. Now, what does the pasuk mean 50 by 50 if it said the length is 100? So the Torah is saying to take 50 and surround 50, meaning take the 50 amos by which the chatzar's length exceeds its width, and distribute it around the perimeter of the other 50 to form a perfect square, equaling 5,000 square amos. Since the pasuk is not coming to teach the square with regards to the chatzar of the Mishkan, it must be coming to teach regarding another halacha, i.e., the size of our Karpov. And point number three, in addition to bringing Rabbi Akiva's opinion that a Karpov must be square, the Mishnah brings the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi regarding the shape of a Karpov. The Gemara revises their opinions based on a braisa that states they both hold that a Karpov may be rectangular up to a ratio of 2:1, as the chatzar of the Mishkan was 50 by 100, but it may not be longer by even one amma. The difference between them is that Rabbi Yossi holds lechadchila, it should be square, whereas Rabbi Elazar holds there's no preference for the Karpov to be square. So once again, the three points are number one, the next mission to discuss the laws of a Karpov, an area enclosed for non-residential purposes. Even though on a deraisa level, it's a Rishus Yachid, since it's a large area that can be confused with the Rishus Rabim, the Rabban prohibited using it in certain circumstances. Rav Yehuda ben Vava said that one may carry in a garden or a Karpov that is not more than 70 amos in a fraction by 70 amos in a fraction that's surrounded by a fence 10 tefachim high and provided that it has a shomer, a watchman's booth, or a beis dira, a dwelling, or that it's near a city. And Rashi explains that when the Karpov is close to the city, the owner comes out regularly to use it, and it's as if it's designated for residential use. Rav Yehuda says that it's permissible to carry in the Karpov even though it contains a water or a ditch to collect water or a cave, meaning that it has some nominal use. And Rabbi Akiva permits carrying in it even if it has none of these, provided that its size does not exceed 70 amos in a fraction by 70 amos in a fraction. Point number two, according to Rabbi Akiva, Karpov cannot exceed 70 amos in a fraction by 70 amos in a fraction and must be a perfect square. The Gemara seeks a deraisa allusion for this. Rabbi answers with the pasuk regarding the Mishkan, Orecha chatzar meva ba'ama v'rochav chamishim v'chamishim. The length of the courtyard is 100 amos and its width is 50 by 50. Now, what does the pasuk mean, 50 by 50? It said that the length is 100. The Torah is saying to take 50 and surround 50, meaning take the 50 amos by which the chatzar's length exceeds its width and distribute it around the perimeter of the other 50 to form a perfect square equaling 5,000 square amos. Since the pasuk's not coming to teach the square with regards to the chatzar of the Mishkan, it must be coming to teach regarding another halacha, i.e. the size of a Karpov. And point number three, in addition to bringing Rabbi Akiva's opinion that a Karpov must be square, the Mishnah brings the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi regarding the shape of a Karpov. The Gemara revises their opinions based on a braisa that states that they both hold that a Karpov may be rectangular up to a ratio of 2:1, as the chatzar of the Mishkan was 50 by 100, but it may not be longer by even one amma. The difference between them is that Rabbi Yossi holds lechadchila it should be square, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds there's no preference for the Karpov to be square. All right, so now we go to our siman for Chav Gimel, and the siman is a keg. So here goes. The beer maker's Karpov, full of kegs, featured a watchman's booth and was perfectly square, while Mr. Cohen's Karpov was rectangular with an exact ratio of 2:1, just like the chatzar of the Mishkan. Once again, in slow motion. The beer maker's Karpov, full of kegs, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Gimel. The beer maker's Karpov, full of kegs, featured a watchman's booth, which reminds us of the Melchogs regarding what is required to carry within a Karpov. Is it some form of dwelling, such as a watchman's booth, or something which makes it fit for weaker residential use, like a water hole, or a ditch, or nothing at all, provided it doesn't exceed a certain size? So the beer maker's karpa full of kegs featured a watchman's booth and was perfectly square, which reminds us of how we learn, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the karpa must be square based on the pasuk that alludes to taking half of the area of the chatzar of the Mishkan and distributing it around the perimeter of the other half. So the beer maker's karpa full of kegs featured a watchman's booth and was perfectly square, while Mr. Cohen's neighboring karpa was rectangular with an exact ratio of 2-1. Just like the chatzar of the Mishkan, which reminds us that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi hold that a karpuf can be rectangular with a ratio of 2-1 based on the chatzar of the Mishkan, except that Rabbi Yossi holds that a chetchila karpuf should be square, and Rabbi Eliezer does not have a preference. So once again, the beer maker's karpuf full of kegs featured a watchman's booth and was perfectly square, while Mr. Cohen's karpuf was rectangular with an exact ratio of 2-1, just like the chatzar of the Mishkan. All right, now it's time for a 4-blah-bah chazara. Daf Yud Tes. So the symbol Yud Tes is a yacht. So here goes. The evildoers on the yacht. Yacht? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Tes. The evildoers on the yacht to Gehenim proclaimed Hashem's perfect justice, which reminds Rabbi Yishuv and Levi taught from the pasuk Gam Brachas Yat Temora. Also, they cloaked their judge with brachas, Shemadstikin Olam HaSedin, that they, those in Gehenim, pronounce the righteousness of the judgment against them. But Omri Mafanav, and they say before him, Rabbonu Shalom, Yafidanta, Yafizechisa, Yafichiavta, and they say before him, Master of the Universe, you have judged properly, you have acquitted the innocent properly, you have convicted the guilty properly, Vyafidikanta Gehenim Urushaim, Ganedin and Tzadikim, and you have properly prepared Gehenim for the evildoers and Ganedin for the righteous. So the evildoers on the yacht to Gehenim proclaimed Hashem's perfect justice, unaware that the Jewish passengers brought fire-resistant clothing, which reminds us, Reish Lakish states, Poshi Yisrael Ein Or Gehenim Shalatiz Behem. The fire of Gehenna has no power over Jewish sinners. So Gemara asks on this from the drush of Yeshua ben Levi on the pasuk, Ovri be'emma kabacha, those who pass through the valley of weeping, which explains to mean that those who transgress are sentenced to the depths of Gehenna, where they weep, which implies that Poshi Yisrael are indeed subject to Gehenna. So Gemara answers that they are condemned to be in Gehenna for a short time, Masi Avram Avinu, Masikuhu Makabuhu, and Avram Avinu then comes and brings them up out of Gehenna and receives them. The Gemara adds that this applies to every Jew, Bar Mitzvah, Shabbat, Bas, Ovid, Kochavim, except for a Jew who had relations with the daughter of my daughter because she draws his foreskin over his circumcision, and Avraham Avinu does not recognize him. So the evildoers on the yacht to Gehenna proclaimed Hashem's perfect justice, unaware that the Jewish passengers brought fire-resistant clothing, which they kept on a round rock that served as a double post. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that Rabbi Shimon Elazar said that if there was a square rock in place of the double post, we view it that if the rock were to be split, it would have an amma on one side and an amma on the other side in the shape of a right angle, nido mishum diyumud. It is treated as a double post. If there were less than an amma on each side, it's not treated as a double post. Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Broka said that if there was an even agula, a round rock there in place of the double post, we view the rock that if it were to be hewn into a square shape and then split to form a right angle, and each side was an amma, then it is viewed as a double post. The Gemara explains the Malkuk is that Rabbi Shimon Lazar holds, Chad Roin Amrinan, Tre Roin Lomrinan. We may view one change in the rock to make it acceptable as a double post, but we may not view two changes to make it acceptable. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds, Tre Roin Nami Amrinan. We may view even two changes. Daf Chaf. So the symbol for Daf Chaf is a cafe. So here goes. The patrons at the courtyard cafe, that must mean we're on Daf Chaf. The patrons at the courtyard cafe that extended into the well area enclosed by the double post, which reminds us, Abai asked Rava, Chatzar Shirosh Niknas of Bein HaPasim, if the end of the Chatzar extends into the well area enclosed by the double post, what's the law in regard to carrying from within the Chatzar into the area enclosed by the post and from the area in between the post to the Chatzar? Since the Chatzar is owned by residents and the well area is designated for the use of the people traveling for the regal, carrying from one area to the other is perhaps the same as carrying between one person's property and another person's property, which is forbidden without making an Erev Chatzeros. So Rabbi answered that it's mutter. And Rashi explains that since the pilgrims do not actually reside within the well enclosure, the area is not considered to be owned by them, and therefore carrying into it or from it is not considered as carrying from one's property into someone else's property. So the patrons of the courtyard cafe that extend into the well area enclosed by the double post were fascinated by the vanishing and reappearing water, which reminds us of Bayas Rabba, Yavshimayim b'Shabbos Mahu. What's the law of the well dried up on Shabbos in terms of permitting one to carry within the post? Rabbi answered, Klum nasis mechitza el b'shamayim. Were the post given the status as mechitz for any other reason than to allow the travelers to draw water? Mayim ein kan, mechitza ein kan. Since the water's not here, the mechitz is not here to permit carrying in the area. Ravin asked what the law would be if the water dried up on Shabbos and then returned on the same Shabbos. Abai answered that there's no question that it's mutter. The Havli Mechitza Hasui b'Shabbos. It's a case of Mechitza made on Shabbos. And any Mechitza made on Shabbos, ben Shogeg, ben Mezim, ben Be'onis, ben Meratzon, Shema Mechitza, is regarded as a valid partition. So the patrons of the Courtyard Cafe that extend into the well area enclosed by the double post were fascinated by the vanishing and reappearing water, while the guy holding his camel to give it a drink found it quite frustrating. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin on Bay stated that it's mutter to bring the pasim closer to the well if there's enough space within the pasim for a cow to stand with its head and most of its body inside the enclosure and drink. The Gemara asks that if one held the animal, may the animal be given to drink even when most of its body is not in the enclosed area. The Gemara attempts to bring a proof that it is not allowed from a brisa that it only allows holding a camel and stuffing food into its mouth when Rosh HaVeruba Mebefim, its head and most of its body is within the enclosure. This seems to be a clear-cut proof that is forbidden. But the Gemara rejects this proof because the brisa was referring to a camel which has a long neck, and it can easily pull its head out of Rosh HaVeruba unless the majority of its body is within the enclosure. Daf Chafal. So the Simfer Chafal is a car, but it's pronounced Ka by people from Boston. So here goes. When the Bachrim piled out of their rental Ka, that must be more on Daf Chafal. When the Bachrim climbed out of their rental Ka to climb down a well of spring water and take a drink, which reminds us, a Braisa on Daf Chaf Amabay states that Pasim Biroz only permits animals of the Oiragon to drink from a well. A person, however, Metapas V'ol, Metapas V'yor, must climb up and climb down into the well to drink there, as he's not permitted to carry the water within the enclosure of the pasim. The Gemara asks that if the pasim beroz only permit animals to drink from the well, why was it said in the name of Shmuel that pasim beroz only permits drawing water leber mayim chaim from a well of spring water? If the pasim are only for animals, what difference does it make if the water comes from a well of running water or of collected water? The Gemara answers, be'in imidid dechazil adam, we need something that is fit for human consumption. Rashi explains that since it's by virtue of the water that the boards become valid mechitzos, we need maim cheshuvim, we need superior water, meaning water which is fit for human consumption. So when the Bachrim piled out of the rental car to climb down a well of spring water and take a drink, they noticed a massive 40 amra scroll on a billboard, which reminds Rav Chisda said in the name of Mari Bar Mar about the pasuk chod techel reisi kates, rochav mitzvascha ma'od, to every goal I've seen a limit, but your commandment, meaning your Torah, is exceedingly broad, that the concept of the vastness of the Torah was mentioned by David Melch, as well as Eov and Yechezkel, but they did not define it. It was only Zechariah who defined it. Zechariah had a vision of a folded scroll that was 20 amos long with a width of 10 amos. It was written on both sides, so when unfolded, it would be 40 amos by 20 amos, which is 800 square amos. A pasuk from Yeshayah indicates that the entire universe is only a zeretz, which is one quarter of divine amos, which means that the Torah is 3,200 times greater than the size of the universe. So when the Bachrim piled out of the rental car to climb down a well of spring water and take a drink, they noticed a massive 40 amos scroll on a billboard that read, better to wash your hands than quench your thirst, which reminds us, to illustrate the importance of rabbinic law, the Gemara brings an incident. When Rabbi Akiva was old and in prison, Rabbi Yishuv ben Garsi would bring him water daily. One day, half the water was spilled out by the guard, and Rabbi Akiva used the remaining water to wash his hands before eating instead of drinking it. When asked why he did so, Rabbi Akiva answered that it's better that I cause my own death caused by not drinking enough, then I transgress Adrabanan, which carries the death penalty. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that when Shlomo HaMelech established the laws of Eruv and Netil Sidaim, Abbas Kol proclaimed, Beni im chacham libecha yismach libi gam ani. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart shall rejoice too. Dav Chabes, so the Simfer Chabes is a cab. So here goes. The righteous cab driver, that must be more in Dav Chabes. The righteous cab driver, who is destined in the future to receive a lot of schar, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the topic of divine reward. Rabbi Yua expanded on the pasuk, Oyachel sono, he will not delay payment to those who hate him. The Kosh Baruch Hu does not delay payment to those that hate him, but rather gives them the reward in this world. Whereas he does delay payment to Tzaddik and Gemurim, meaning he postpones their payment until Olam Haba. This is in essence what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "My deksiva she'anochim etzavcha yom lasosam." What is the meaning of that which is written? You shall keep the mitzvahs which I command you today to do them. Hayom lasosam v'golom achar lasosam. Today, meaning in this world, is the time to do the mitzvahs, and not tomorrow, meaning in the world to come, is not the time to do mitzvahs. Hayom lasosam v'machar l'kabel scharam. Today one does mitzvahs, and tomorrow, meaning in the world to come, one receives his reward. So the righteous cab driver, who was destined in the future to receive a lot of sechar, drove patiently in the traffic through Yerushalayim. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah brings a machlokas whether traffic may be allowed to pass through the posts of the enclosure of a well without disrupting their function as mechitzas. Rav Yehuda said that if the path of Rosh's Rabbim cuts between the posts, Yisrael Kenot Stadim, he must divert the traffic to the side of the enclosure. And the Chachamim say it's not necessary. In their view, the traffic does not invalidate the mechitzos. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said, Kan hodiyecha kochan shel mechitzos. Here, in the ruling of the Chachamim, the Tana informed you of the power of mechitzos, meaning that the posts are not invalidated by the traffic. The Gemara states that this statement implies that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with this ruling. However, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim imali daso said, ninaz balaylo, Yerushalayim, if it were not for its doors that were closed at night, chayavin alem mishum rishus harabim. One would be liable for carrying in rishus harabim, meaning even though Yerushalayim is surrounded by walls, and as Tosfos points out, it had its tzuras of Pesach at the entranceways, Rabbi Yochanan holds that traffic passing through would have annulled their enclosing power if not for its doors. So the Gemara concludes Rabbi Yochanan was only discussing the statement of the Chachamim, but he follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So the righteous cab driver, who was destined in the future to receive a lot of sechar, drove patiently in the traffic through Yerushalayim and gave mitzvah rides in areas that had slopes and were difficult to walk through. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael ain chayavin alem mishum rishu. So Rabbim, in Eretz Yisrael, one is not chayav for carrying an rishu. So Rabbim, on Shabbos, according to the Gemara's final understanding of the statement, certain areas that have slopes and are difficult to walk through do not have the status of rishu. So Rabbim, because it's not similar to the Diglei Midbar, the encampment in the desert where the land was flattened by the Anane HaKavod. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff we learned that the Farv Gehenim has no power over Yidden, that's on Duff. Yid test. Good. Number 2, which stuff we learned Hashem pays the Rishayim in this world, but he delays giving Schar to Tzaddik and Gemurim until Olam Haba, that's on Duff. Chabez. Good. Number 3, which stuff we learned about Zechariah's vision, which indicates the Torah is 3,200 times more vast than the universe, that's on Duff. Chavav. Good. Number 4, which stuff we learned that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi learn that a carpel can be rectangle with a ratio of 2-1, and it's learned from the chutzra of the Mishkan, that's on Duff. Chav Gimel, good. Number 5, which stuff do we have a malchok is where the traffic through the passing invalidates them as mechitzos, that's on Duff. Chav Beis. Good. Number 6, which stuff do we learn that the reason the well water has to be bare maim chaim, even though it's just for animals, is that we need maim chashuvim, that's on Duff. Chafalov. Good. Number 7, which stuff do we learn the source for Bikiva Shita that a karpuff must be square? That's on Duff. Chav Gimel. Good. Number 8, which stuff do we learn that certain areas that are sloped or are difficult to walk through do not have the din of Rishus of Rabbim? That's on Duff. Chav Beis. Good. Number 9, which stuff do we learn that it's mutter to use a well that dried up on Shabbos and then refilled on the same Shabbos? That's on Duff. Chaf. Good. Number 10. And which stuff do we have the question if the majority of the animal's body needs to be in the enclosure if someone is holding on to the animal? That's on Duff. Chaf. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that there are abbreviations in the Torah like Anochi? That's on Duff. Kufhei and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have Malkokas regarding who can use Shem and Vered, rose oil on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Kuf Yadolf and Shabbos. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we have in Malkokas regarding the latest time one can eat the carbon Pesach? That's on Duff. Tess and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.